sounded like a door slamming.
That's how it feels here.
It was like
the two times we've had the two times we've had earthquakes here.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's felt like or sounded like. It sounded like a door shutting, like slamming.
That's so weird. And like the whole building shook. So I was like,
yeah, but man,
be like
somebody gets pissed enough at their boyfriend, they could slam their door that hard.
I mean,
shake the whole fucking building.
Are we recording?
Yes, 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 we are.
Welcome, everybody, to My Worst Date, then. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Well, first and foremost, we must fucking talk about the LuLaRoe documentary in which Christina shared with us last week. We all have thoughts and feelings, but episode 3 is by far one of the most triggering things that I've seen in a long fucking time. And my husband and I, Chris and I, like I've not talked about Chris like a bazillion times before.
Right. Who?
Who? We're sitting in bed watching this show. And the looks that we were both giving each other when they were talking about the book that her mom wrote.
I straight up paused it because Anthony was not in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
You can't miss that.
You have to be here for my rage.
Oh, yeah. Chris and I were like literally like just staring at each other like this cannot fucking be real right now. Like the okay, so for our listeners who haven't seen it, they start talking about like this is a whole boss babe quote movement, which is bullshit to begin with, but
yeah, I guess we should say up top that we're pretty anti MLM.
I mean, and
well,
yeah,
we've specifically because it's predatory. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
We've talked about it on the podcast before, like our feelings about it, and we've definitely received like emails being upset with our stance. It's something that I refuse to apologize for because I think they're predatory. I think they're inherently terrible for society. Except for like the three people who are on top and make all the that's money, right. Everybody else loses money. So
I feel that's the thing that it comes down to. It boils down to how it affects people and long term, like what that looks like for them. Like how yeah. At any rate, so the book. There's two books. There's a book that the owner's mother wrote, which is problematic AF. Then there's another book which is by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, like how to like feed or something or take care of your basically it's like it sounds like how you would take care of a house plant, but it's like how to like water and feed your husband or
it
some
is
nonsense.
So
it is like garbage. Chris is like, I'm getting that book for Keegan for the wedding.
Oh my god, can you imagine? I mean, honestly, that would be really funny. Actually would be funny.
He's like, I have to do a reading for the wedding. I'm thinking about trying to find a nice passage from there.
You know, I'm on all different kinds of TikToks now at this point, like TikTok threads, for lack of a better word. And of course I'm on feminism TikTok, and there was this woman who there are like women on TikTok who have full TikToks about like, oh, isn't it so silly that like my husband can't, I picked up my daughter from school today and her romper was on backwards, or both of her legs were in one leg of her shorts.
That's,
and isn't it like, so funny that my husband is so silly like this? And I'm like, it's weaponized incompetence. Like he's doing it badly on purpose so that then you'll step in and be like, oh, silly little men. And I feel like it's a similar vibe that they give off where they're just like, men are incapable of doing anything.
You must support them. You have to have their back.
Let them be right, but also
when she said let them be your hero, Chris looked at me and was like, I'm fucking using this, so I must. Like obviously it's a joke because Chris would fucking never, but the next morning Chris had somehow gotten up before me, and that's what this whole story is leading to, in which he got up and he made coffee and I walked in groggy eyed half awake and I was like, oh my god, you made coffee, you're my hero. And he looked at me with the widest eyes like it had just happened and it was handed to him on a silver platter. And he's like, what did you say? I was like, God damn it.
I can be a hero, baby.
No, I was reading this article too, like kind of related to this is like, you know, when everything shut down and people were working from home. And we talked about this last week, the huge rise in divorces. It's because everyone was working from home, and yet women were still being shouldered with the majority of the home responsibilities, homeschooling their kids, and still trying to work from home. Yeah. And they're not getting the help from their partners or what have you. And it's just like this has always been something that's really pissed me off with the whole sitcoms thing where it's like, oh, my dumb husband, you know, that kind of thing. I hate that.
And then
trope.
The wife is always a nag.
Yep.
Yes. And it's like, okay, well, she wouldn't have to nag if you could do literally anything.
The barest of minimums.
The barest minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
At home.
That whole like dynamic is... It's infantilizing.
That's
to
exactly
men.
What I was going to say.
Absolutely,
and
is.
Then yeah, I'm
and it's
like,
also not real life.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be.
Well, it
I
shouldn't
hope it's
be.
Not
that's
your
that's
real
the
life.
Thing is that it shouldn't be, and it's like you are. I would be so insulted if I was a man that it's just like, this is what you think I'm capable of. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's just, it's part of certain kinds of cultures and has existed in those cultures for so long that it's just, and it was reinforced with things like sitcoms.
Right. Yes. So, and with things like this MLM with Lululemon. I remember.
Or LuLaRoe. Lululemon's a whole different thing.
Lululemon is like, you keep my name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah, no,
right
exactly.
Now.
We're literally sued immediately. No, LuLaRoe, like I'm old enough to remember literally like 10 girls from my high school on Facebook.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Hey, girly.
No.
First of all, those leggings, like I am not a stylish person. I have never claimed to be. I'm not a fashion person. I'm the one who has said on this podcast that I'm ready to wear the future uniforms.
As long as it's not LuLaRoe leggings.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
So ugly. They've always been ugly. Yeah.
Well,
I don't understand.
Even the designer who they interview here, who I freaking love, by
the
way. The
best.
She's amazing.
And the nephew, too.
Yeah.
Those two. It's garbage.
There are some real gems who are interviewed for this documentary. But that designer is just like, man, listen, she's like, I don't know what you want me to do. We were cranking out 100 designs a day. She's like, things were getting tacky. I don't know what to say. Like
100 designs a day. Could you fucking imagine?
There's the one that was like the burger right on the crotch.
Jesus Christ. The fucking it was the
Leaning
Tower
of
Pisa. How appropriately named as well, right?
Just
Pisa penis.
Right
it
on
was
the crotch.
Right in the crotchal region.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Leaned a little to the left.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I mean, that's a problem when you grew as much as they did, and then instead of like hiring professionals,
you're using
they just
Google Sheets that everyone has access
girl.
To.
I got
chills.
Sweaty.
Yeah,
I got sweaty at that
I got
part.
Sweaty because I saw all the changes being made.
Me
like
too.
That I was like, oh no.
Look,
stop making changes
because at my job we have like smart sheets that people do have access to.
Same,
but and
like
it
a SharePoint
fills me with like I get nervous when I have to go in there and like get information out because usually it's just like it's a place to store information and you go to reference like whatever, and I get nervous because I'm just like, what if I do something in here and like
it's so
it's
easy
a shared
to pick,
document.
Though.
I know it's an irrational fear, but I mean. They were making updates to this Google
constantly.
Excel sheet, basically.
My God. Multiple people simultaneously.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is what happens when you hire your, you know, weird nephew. You know what
Listen.
I mean? Like, you're a billion-dollar company. You got to hire, like, somebody that knows what they're doing.
Also, you've got, like, 30 children. Not one of them went to, like,
business school
like,
or
marketing like
didn't take some classes when they figured out like this is where we're headed
your
parents have plenty of money to pay for classes
they had that one guy like one of their sons was like let me talk to you about why we need to stop acting like we're a pyramid scheme like on video like a video call
wow.
I'm like bro
how about the one son
he's
who
like
started crying when he was like mom and dad asked us to be a part of this.
Yes.
It was
just
so beautiful.
Yes.
I'm like, they should not have.
No, they shouldn't have.
Mistake.
They were like, well, the one guy took care of the bonus structure because he knows Excel well.
I was like,
well, there
He's
you have
Excel
it.
He's an Excel wizard at 23.
Well, there you have it.
I was like,
I also know how to put a spreadsheet together.
I know.
No one has asked me yet to put a bonus structure together. That's actually not true. I did put together a whole key account structure, but I mean,
still,
like, it's
I'm
something I'm
like,
actually versed in.
Oh my God. There's just like, who's not skilled in Excel at
Honey,
this point? I mean,
right.
if you've worked in any kind
did
of
you go to high school?
I want to know what that means by skilled in Excel, because like there are levels to Excel.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's worked with that one person who knows how to do like all the things
all the
in
smart
Excel
keys
and you're like,
and
whoa.
Shit and formulas.
But the basic stuff, like everyone knows how to do the basics and I get the impression that that's the level we're operating at here.
Sure, sure, sure. I can put a sum in.
Right.
I know how to make a sum of certain cells together.
Right.
And they're like, whiz.
All he did was like rap text once.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Did merge you format?
Cells.
Ooh, did you format that cell, bitch? What?
No, I mean, here's the thing. It's a bummer. There's this documentary I love because I feel like it really explains the pressures that are on women and the reason why it just coalesced around the perfect moment. You have like the most educated women in history being like stay-at-home moms, and like, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, but they wanted to do something to help around their house with the household.
They're selling
income.
A dream.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And I feel like Gen X and like some millennials, like older millennials, were in this really weird spot where it's like we are the most educated.
Yes.
You know, and we were kind of starting this idea of like third wave feminism.
Right. And social media came along.
Right. But also there is still that expectation and mentality around having a family and having children.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, like whenever I was growing up, that was still kind of this thing that was just like, yes, of course, you're going to get married and you're going to have kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel like now we're moving more into like the normalization of being child free and not getting married. And
that's so funny that you feel like you had that pressure. I think it probably depends on the family in general, whom you grow up around. Because I definitely didn't feel that pressure.
Oh, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
My parents were like, you don't have to have a kid ever if you don't want to. Like, it's up to you.
I think you're the exception to the rule.
And I think I do. And I also think it's larger than your family structure. I think there was societal pressure.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, for sure. I mean, like, every movie we watched, we talk about it like all the time.
The happy
ending
is finding
is getting married.
Yep.
And like,
yeah, no, getting married. Like, that for sure. I always felt the, not pressure, but the anxiety of like finding the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think we've all felt that for sure.
I mean, I think the language has just recently begun to change around being childless to being child free. Like, the language is changing around that, because it was always viewed very much as like, I mean, even now, like, I'm getting ready to get married. The question is always, when are you having kids? Are you having kids? Like, it's still the question that comes up. And I feel like we're moving out of that now. But it put women of a certain age group, especially, in kind of like a weird, like, double mindset of feeling like, I have this education, I want to use this education, but I also feel like I need to be home with my kids because now I have kids.
Wow.
And like, and how do I do this? And they presented it as like, here, you can have it all. And
you
stay home and have it all. Yeah.
It was all fake.
Part-time work for full-time salary.
It wasn't
fake for some of those first people that were coming in. Do you hear the
But they weren't
of some
working
of those
part-time. That's
bonus,
the thing.
Yeah.
Sure, those bonus checks, but they weren't working part-time. They were working beyond full-time.
Yeah.
They were working.
It was their life. Their whole
fucking life.
Did you notice they were all divorced too?
Oh, no, I haven't gotten that far yet.
No, they said it in the beginning.
Most of the main chicks.
Yeah. Lost everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so sad. Their marriage fell apart. So it's like,
it sucks too, because I think that, I guess too, I have a question, because we both grew up with, all three of us, surprisingly, all of our parents that we grew up with in whatever way, have all been still together, right?
Yeah.
So what was your house dynamic like? Because what I'll tell you is that my house dynamic, which I thought was the norm, my dad it's complicated, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say big time about my dad was helped. My dad helped clean the house. He would run the vacuum. He would do dishes. He would, you know, now my mom would probably be the person. She grew up, I think, in a very moms do this. And so she did do a lot, but my dad always helped out. He took care of the outside, 100%. My mom would never have mowed the grass. My dad cooked. My dad cleaned. My dad was a full participant in the household.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought that was not, I didn't look at it as gender rolled. Just curious, is that kind of the same thing?
Well, my childhood is a little complicated.
Sure.
But early on, my mom is 5 years older than my dad, my stepdad. So she's 5 years older than him. They got together when she was like 26 and he was like 21.
Oh, wow. Gosh, and babies. Can you imagine? Yeah, now?
Babies. And she had two kids.
Yeah.
And he was 21.
Honestly,
and
bless his heart, though.
So, yeah.
That's a big role to take on.
It is. And she was more educated. She'd already had her bachelor's. She went on to get her master's. Mm-hmm. And then she started working as a therapist. And so she was working. Yeah. Like, she was working a lot more than my dad was working. So he did take on a lot more of those household responsibilities.
So it was like a reverse of like what most people saw
at that time. And then whenever he joined the military, he was gone. So then my mom was doing everything.
Yeah.
And that's when her views started to kind of change in a more like, we leaned into that like evangelical belief system it was very much about like, she did uphold traditional gender roles as like, this is the ideal for a family. Right.
Wow. So you kind of got to see both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents taught us like how to do chores like early on. So I think it was the kids. It was the joke that we were the remote control,
their goal,
the dishwasher,
was like,
the laundry machine.
I'm not going to do it. And you're not going to do it either. The kids are going to do it.
The kids are going to do it. So yeah, like my earliest memories are of like sweeping and stuff. Like we had chores to do. It was kind of a family affair.
Sure.
Like everybody's responsibility was like the house. It was all of us. So
that's but your dad participated just as much as your mom?
He worked a lot. So yeah, I mean, he would cook sometimes. And I remember him like mowing the grass and stuff like that. But most of the time it was, you know, as soon as we were old enough to walk, we could hold a broom. So.
Oh, same. Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. We had to work. I was definitely a child labor as well. Exactly. Full child labor. I was a latchkey kid. I remember coming home to the list.
Oh, yeah.
And if that list was not fucking done, forget about it.
Yep.
Like,
I got away pretty easy early on in my childhood. I didn't do a lot of chores early on. But okay, so the last thing that I will say about this documentary, because it is,
there's so much to
say. Much, and I hope we haven't ruined it for anyone who's going to watch it. But the last thing that I will say is that they talked about retiring their husbands.
Oh,
and I found that to be so insidious.
That was awful. So creepy.
It was so weird because they were like, they talked a lot about like your husband pressuring. Your husband needs to quit his job. Your husband needs to quit his job. So that they would be 100% reliant on the income that they were making or not making.
Yeah.
And then they acted like it was like a, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, aren't you glad that we could do this for you? And it made me feel just so like
awful.
Icky, you know?
So your company is now going to pay for our health insurance and...
Right.
Okay.
And that's what was 401k. So messed up is that you're looking at like the message being like the traditional gender norms or whatever. But then they're flipping the script because they do want like all the power or whatever. So they're like talking about like, these are ways that your husband can help out your business. And they're talking about him taking on, you know,
But they also wanted him to take on like more responsibility with like, they wanted him to be the face, right? They were like, put your husband in front of the camera. Let him do the lives. Let him take over. Like, what? It was so weird to me. I'm like, I'm not trying to buy like B leggings from that guy, that bro with
but honestly,
backwards hat on. Like, what are you doing?
Listen, like,
it's so weird.
I have been pitched an MLM. Someone tried to get 100. Me to do Herbalife, I think.
Amazing.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's pretty insidious. And if you've gotten, and I have bought our bond
before.
I didn't know that it was an MLM, but yeah, I got sold our bond.
I let someone have an our bond party in my house because I was like,
too uncomfortable to say no.
I'm such a people pleaser that I was just like, okay,
sure.
And then they were there, and then I was like, I guess I'll buy this $75 cream to help you out.
It was great cream.
It was great cream. I'm not gonna lie, but still a predatory business. That's the thing, is you'll always have people say like, oh, but I got this and this product worked great for me. And it's like, that can be true. I'm not saying that the product necessarily is bad. In this LuLaRoe case, they were bad, or they got
to
that
point.
Well,
they became bad, right?
Right. But like, it's not always about the product. It's about the power structure of right. the way the company is set up that is predatory. So the product could be great. You could swear by this one Arbonne cream, right. but sure. I won't buy it.
And also, if you've gotten caught up in something like that, like, no shame. I don't want to, yeah, no. exactly. Because I'm like, I was in a cult for like years. So, you yeah. know,
no shame.
I know easy how easy to get. It is to it's, get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially during, you know, this time period when social media was just yes. coming up, and it was just the way that it was, just so many factors coalesced around this one thing. Like, I get it. So no shame, but
absolutely.
No better, do better, right?
Oof,
yeah. Let's retire that boss babe mentality, please.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. It's tough. I do. I really do feel bad for people who've become, you know, trapped in that, because it is very much cult like. And I think, like, even that one girl who like realized, she's like, I'm in a fucking cult. Like,
yeah. it's also like an offshoot of that like hustle and grind mentality yes. that I feel like is very, very prominent, especially with like millennials, where it's just like you have to be doing 8,000 different things all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And like, man, look, we're all emotionally and mentally exhausted right. now. Like, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Like, you don't need to do all the things, like, just to try and, like, I know it feels like that, but it's just like, man, wait till tomorrow. Go take a nap.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the anxiety and pressure that I have on myself is from that girl boss mentality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have it all, do it all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where it is exhausting. It has led to my own, like, anxiety attacks, mm-hmm. depression at mm-hmm. times, because I don't feel like I'm living up to that mentality that's mm. just like just made up, mm-hmm. you know? True. So
yeah,
take it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Put your feet up and watch this documentary.
Yeah. yeah.
Take a break. Well, speaking of, who should we FMK this week?
Somebody suggested that we do the dating apps, but have we done that already?
The dating apps?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like don't think
Tinder,
that we have.
Hinge, Bumble, that kind of thing.
I've never used any of them.
I know.
Them. But I mean, if you explained the basic differences to I could probably make a call.
Let's do the main three. Tinder, okay. Bumble, and Hinge. Those okay. are the
Great.
Most
all right.
popular. So Tinder, we all know, swipey, swipe. Yeah. It is, you know, yeah. it can have like, I think it's like 6 pictures. And like a basic bio, like Tinder or Twitter length bio.
Does it ask you the questions, or is that a different app?
That's a different app.
Okay.
So you just put whatever you want in this bio. Now you can link your Spotify, or you can link your Instagram. I'm not sure of any of the newer features, because I haven't used it in 2 years, but that's what it was back in the day. Name, age, CEO itself.
Oh, yes. God. Entrepreneur.
yes.
That Boss kind babe. Of thing.
Boss babe.
Oh, no.
Okay. And then Bumble is just like Tinder for the most part, except you do have like little things to fill out, like your height, if you're a smoker, if you are a drinker, like that kind of thing. And then it will give you a couple different prompts to fill out. Mm-hmm. And the woman initiates contact.
Okay, this
then
Bumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you only have 24 hours. Like, that person only has 24 hours from that first contact to get back to you. Otherwise, the match goes dead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pressure is on.
Supposed to prevent flakes, but it yeah. means you have to, like, check it every day.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. So,
genius.
Or you can pay to keep those matches active. Then you have Hinge, which is like a different pictures, prompts, and questions. And you can like not their picture, but like their answer to a question or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you can invite someone else to start the chat. You can be like, you start talking to me or whatever. So that's Hinge.
Huh. Hmm. What's the benefit of that? To be like,
no
you, use, you do it.
You do
like,
it. Yeah.
I feel like, why don't you do it then? You're yeah. here already.
Right. Both of them hinge on the all of them hinge on the fact that both parties have to be interested,
right,
in order to begin speaking.
Right. Okay. Well, I so like that.
Yeah. That's those are the apps.
I think I know what I want to do.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that I am going to marry Hinge. I like their premise. I think that they really are of the three, the one that's like trying to be more relationship focused. I love that you are able to know a lot about people and you can engage with the things about them as opposed to just mm-hmm. that, like that surface, like you're good looking and your answer was cool, but it's more about like, oh, your answer was cool. And this is the way you can engage with them in that way. Like it invites you to engage with that part of them as opposed to,
I think it helps you start conversation too, yeah. because you can be like, oh, they liked this specific thing. Oh, they're interested in yeah. that. Let's talk about that. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna fuck. I think that I'm going to fuck Bumble. And here's why. I like that quick 24-hour window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're in, you're out. Yes. On with your day. You get to be in charge.
I get to engage it, right? Yeah. Like I get to Tinder's gonna fuck you up.
Tinder's the fuckboy of this situation.
It is the it is 100% the fuckboy. Yeah,
it is 100% a hookup app.
Yeah.
You know,
not opposed to that.
You get lucky. Like I said, like I met Eric through Tinder. Right.
A lot of people meet their significant other.
It's happened.
It has happened. Because it probably is the most commonly used one. Probably the most popular.
Correct. That is what I found.
And that's the thing. I don't know if we know how I feel about popular guys, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Am I good enough for Tinder? Am I?
No, you're too good for Tinder, but Tinder is going to make you feel like you're not good enough for Tinder.
Amen.
That's what it is. And I'm like, I feel like Bumble's more humble. Bumble.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're going to be like, you are good enough for this. And I'm like, thank you. And
thank you.
I am good enough. And we should totally bang it out and then be done.
I think my own experience definitely colors it. I hated Hinge.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be the most popular and most thoughtful app for me. Mm-hmm. I definitely like looked at it and was like, this makes sense. I think it's engaging people on, you know, things that are just not, you know, pictures or whatever, but on more of who they are. It was not used that way. And I found the people I did interact with on Hinge strange. That was my own experience. So I'm going to kill Hinge.
Okay.
Now, mm-hmm. I got to say, yeah. I'm going to marry Tinder because yeah. even disregarding Eric.
Yeah, right.
I mm-hmm. had the most successful and most fun dates through Tinder.
Oh.
I had the most like just honest people up front about what they were looking for, whether it was DTF, something casual, or whether they wanted to progress into a relationship. But I found people to be very much themselves, whether that meant
good, bad,
that
or
they
ugly.
Would eliminate themselves early. My weirdest, sometimes most uncomfortable, awful dates were through Bumble, but there were a couple really fun experiences in there. And the woman being in charge, I'm gonna fuck Bumble.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. Okay. Having never used any of these apps, except for I think briefly swiping on Christina's Tinder, yeah. I am going to. I think this is a little surprising. I think I'm going to kill Bumble because first of all, don't tell me what to do. 24 hours. Okay. I got a life.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
I'm. It's annoying.
I don't want to have to keep up with that. First of all. Secondly, I love the idea of the woman being in charge on Bumble, but I feel like it's going to attract a certain kind of quote unquote nice guy.
Yep. Mm.
Who is going to be like, I am so noble for choosing to be on this app where the woman gets to be in charge, like, and wants me to like thank them for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that kind of guy.
You ruined it.
Sorry. That's the vibe. That's just
immediately.
The vibe. So, you know, I can't deal. That's look, that kind of like quote unquote male feminist guy who's like, still mansplainy to you is almost like fake woke guy is worse than mm-hmm. just like a bro. Like, you know, it's worse.
Who just knows who he is.
Right. Yeah. Like, so, I gotta kill Bumble. I'm a, I'm a fuck Tinder. Tinder is the Pete Davidson of dating. Yes,
he is.
Okay. it's I'm not proud. Yeah. But it is also going to be a good time. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be a good time.
It's shots.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That was what was tricky for me, was I was back and forth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, and yeah, it's a mistake, but we don't ever have to talk about it.
That's
again,
right.
You know,
that's like right.
I we would laugh about it over brunch the next day.
Yep.
And that's it. And then, yeah, I'm going to marry Hinge. I like that there's conversation involved. I'm sure that that attracts some real weirdos, randos.
Probably.
But I don't know. I think we could make it work.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
No, the Hinge thing for me, there were a couple of times that I was on it where it definitely is more relationship focused, and perhaps the time I was using it, I was not in a relationship mindset. Mm. And so I had people coming on to fast food.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't love that, but I mean, I guess if I was looking for marriage, then that's probably the one I would want to use.
Right.
I do love their commercials. I think they're hilarious.
The
Hinge app.
Next
basically
time we should do
dying.
The old school ones, like Match and eHarmony. And
oh God!
Well, we did that for our live show.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
eHarmony. God, the worst.
Oh no, we had
Farmers Only. Was it that one?
We had the horoscopes.
As
dating apps.
Oh, that's right.
God, that's right.
Where Capricorn was like Match, and I was like, why am I the beige computer dating right now?
Oh, I don't remember what I was.
Me neither.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
Gotta go revisit that live show.
Well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds
yes.
good.
And we're back. All right, Christina, it's your turn to start.
Okay, this is one of the strangest stories I've ever found. It just tickles my funny bone, so I'm going to go for it. This guy says, I hooked up with this girl from work and knew she wanted to be more than friends with benefits, so I asked her out. She had an amazing ass. I thought it would be...
Nice. I love that.
Nice.
Nice.
I thought it would be fun if I took shrooms before the date.
Why? Why would you think
that's a good idea?
Shrooms. Now, I literally have... Just tried these for the first time. I cannot think of carrying on a coherent conversation.
No.
Are you on the same trip as me?
No.
And look, I'm not a drug person. Like, any drugs for me on a date.
A first date?
Yeah,
never.
No. Sorry. You don't know that person yet. They can't get to know you like that.
I literally saw, like, the Matrix numbers on the ceiling. Yes! And I saw everybody's faces age and decompose in front of me at one point.
Could you imagine
being on a fucking date?
No. You're just staring at them.
Wait, all I can imagine when you said you saw people's faces like decompose in front of you is that like what's Indiana Jones where
his
face melts off.
It was pretty similar. Like everyone was just getting like older in front of me. It was really freaky. I cannot imagine being on a first date. But anyways, I had some for her if she wanted some, but I didn't think she was into that kind of thing.
Oh, how generous.
No fucks, though. I eat them and get ready. She cancels on me like an hour before we're supposed to meet
up. Honestly, ideal
situation. Best thing that ever happened to you in your life right now.
Yes.
I'm disappointed and bored. So I throw on a movie. I'm even more bored, and the shrooms kick in.
Oh, no. What movie? I must know. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I get uncomfortable. I try and play with my dog, but he knows I'm fucked up and he's uncomfortable too.
Yes! Dog's like, bye.
Dog's like, bruh.
I'm not trip sitting.
No. See you later. He just sat back and watched me, and that made me even more uncomfortable.
Imagine you're tripping on shrooms and your dog's in the corner
judging
just like,
you. Judging. Get your shit together, bro.
God, Brad, you do this all the time.
I tried to think of stuff to do while I'm tripping, but nothing came to mind because it's a weekday in my small town, and it's like 7:30 at night.
I forced myself to watch 30 minutes of this movie before getting so uncomfortable. The only thing that made me feel okay was lying face down on my carpet in complete silence.
Oh my God.
My dog laid by my head, my face looking straight into the carpet and hands at my sides. My body felt bad anytime I tried and stand up, so I laid there for 4 hours, wide awake, staring at my rug. Worst date ever.
You know, I wonder if that dog was over there, like, you know how when you're with a friend who's like throwing up and like they do this all the time, yeah, like because they like drank too much or whatever, and you're just like patting them on the back, just being like, fucking goddamn it. Like,
again.
I wonder if the dog.
But you're like, I also just want to be here to make sure you don't die.
Yeah, like I'm still like, you're still my friend, but like, but Jesus, you know? Seriously. And I wonder if the dog was having a similar feeling when it's like laying by his head and it's just like, you know what? Paris Hilton's chihuahuas have an entire house that's air conditioned to themselves. And this is the person that I ended up with. This fucking guy.
This fucking guy.
This
on
fucking
a date
guy.
With the rug.
Totally on a date with the rug. Oh, God. Okay. Okay, like yours, this one says, maybe not technically a date, but I met a guy at a club and we hit it off really well. There was good chemistry. Unfortunately, he got more and more drunk as the night went on. Ugh. And it's hard to describe. His personality changed.
Well, alcohol does that to some people.
Yeah, you think, right?
Yeah, and dependent on the alcohol can change in many different ways.
Oh, totally.
See,
right?
Taking tequila shots.
We've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. Are you wine drunk?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
I was the designated driver for my group of friends. And when we went to leave around 3 a.m., he asked for a ride home because his friends had ditched him. Friends and I lived 15 miles away. He lived 40 miles away. Whatever. He said he would pay for gas. I like driving at night, so no big deal.
I don't know. Like, no big deal.
That feels like a big deal.
I just met you at a club. I'm going to drive you, not 40 minutes, 40 miles.
40 miles. Here's the other thing. I need you to get me gas before we go out of town because I need to believe this story that you're actually going to buy me gas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know. Yeah. You're going to top off my gas tank right now.
3 a.m.
Uh-uh.
I'm so old now. I'm like, tie.
Totally.
Sure can't. Sorry.
Totally.
Also, too, by myself, like, I would make sure one of my friends stayed with me.
Yes.
Do you care? Would you ride with me? I'm not dropping him off unless one of my friends is staying in the car with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. You,
danger.
40 miles?
Will Robinson.
No.
For sure.
No, thank you. Boo. My friends live 50 miles, 40 miles, whatever. He said he would pay for gas. I like driving at night, so no big deal. Dropped off my friends in town, in our town, drove him home. He directed me to a gas station in his town so I could fill up in gas for $10. He would pay for it. And he could buy some more booze and beer to drink at home. Honey,
I think maybe you need to call it a night. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah, I don't know if you need more booze.
Go to bed.
When we get to his home, he just would not leave my car.
No. 911.
And talking and opening a beer can, drinking it and putting it back in the bag, grabbing another one. After about 45 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
45 minutes.
No.
Of me telling him to get the fuck out, I had to get out, open the passenger side door, and literally pull him outside. He thought that was super funny and admired how strong I was. Yeah.
You've got that emergency strength, oh, you know, that kicks in.
How super strong I was and able to pull him out. I threw his backpack at him and left him on the sidewalk.
See ya.
Bye.
Dude, we would never leave one of our people at a club in 3 a.m. I'm like, how much do your friends like
hate you?
Yeah.
They know, they're like, oh man.
Find your own way 40
Jeff
miles
is getting
home.
Really drunk. Yeah. You know how he gets. God. Like,
honestly, Jeff like lives 40 miles away from here.
Yeah, like, let's get the fuck out of here. Irish goodbye right now. They don't even tell him. They just moonwalk out of the club.
And Jeff's so lonely. He's like, just talk to the stranger.
We would also 100% never let one of our friends drive a stranger home in the middle of the night.
Absolutely not.
Either.
Yeah. Never.
Okay, well, prepare to get upset.
Ooh. Oh, goody.
Went to a really nice restaurant I'd been wanting to try out for a while. But being a student, I could only but dream. So when this guy took me out, I was actually very excited and impressed when he offered to take me and pay, which I would usually decline, but he was a man of means and really wanted to, and I really wanted to try this place out. So I humbly accepted. Look, there are so many fancy, expensive restaurants in Los Angeles that I feel the same way about. I'm like, if somebody wanted to take me, I don't know, like to Nobu, I'd be like, all right.
Dude, it was really uncomfortable for me. And I think I talked about it on the podcast that that one like rich guy that I dated that got like the $400 bottle of wine at dinner.
Yes.
And like,
all this stuff, yeah.
Just made me feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I could see that too. This place was amazing from the get-go. Beautifully decorated, the service was stellar, and the menu looked so goddamn incredible that I seriously think my face was in a permanent state of happy.
Nice.
That's someone who loves food.
Me too.
And that's what she said. See, I love food. I appreciate it when it's well done, and good food is one of my pleasures in life. Yes. So having already gone through a glass of good red each and learned a bit about this guy and what he does for a living, I was ready to make my order. I'll have the fried brie wedges and red currant chutney, please.
Yes.
Right? No, he says, waving his finger at me and turning to our waitress. She'll have a green leaf salad. What?
If you take cheese away from me, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. I'm sorry.
And that waitress was like, she'll have what the fuck she said she'll have.
And can you, like... this person too. This person who clearly like loves food, right? We can relate.
Yeah,
to this. I am curious right now.
I figured it was just him trying to be a cavalier guy, like you see in the movies, who order for their dates, whatever. But I really did want that gooey brie. A green salad in a restaurant like this was a bit of a waste, but he was paying. Then he poured himself another glass of red, finishing the bottle before ordering for himself and announcing to the waitress, and she'll also have a water.
Okay.
At this point, sir. I was feeling a bit put out. I don't actually like water on its own, as odd as that sounds, so I asked the waitress for a cranberry juice. For some reason, this seemed to miff the guy as he just waved his hand and grunted, but I tried to continue our conversation, though his mood had noticeably changed. I figured I must have overstepped.
Eventually, overstepped what?
I must have overstepped. I did something
wrong. Wow.
Eventually, my salad arrived and his freaking brie, he ordered the brie for himself.
I am so hot right now. I am so hot.
Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse.
This would not be me.
My salad was just that, leaves on a plate. So I asked the waitress if I could have some dressing or croutons. No, she's fine, he piped up. Waving the server off. See, this actually did piss me off. I've been a server and being waved off or whistled for is incredibly disrespectful and degrading.
Yes.
So I tried to shoot her an apologetic look, but I don't think she noticed. Damn, that brie looked as awesome on his plate as it would have on mine. Hey, can I try a bit of your brie? It looks amazing. Instead of answering, he kept chewing and waving his fork over my salad, gesturing for me to eat it.
I am going to stab this guy with a fork. I can't. I'd get up and walk out. I cannot know if you can read more of this. I am so furious.
How dare you?
Please tell me more. I figured the least the guy could do was answer me once he'd finished chewing. I don't want you getting fat. You're a woman, not a boar.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go to the restroom, by the way. I am going to go meet that waitress, ask for an order of that brie to go and get the fuck out.
Bearing in mind this was my first date with the guy, and even if it wasn't, the line had been thoroughly and unforgivably crossed.
Yeah, yeah. That's that is such a disgusting thing to say to another human.
Yeah, yeah. So I put down my food, grabbed my coat, and walked out.
Yep. Good. Yes. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm.
Yeah. No, I would have done the same
thing. Imagine. Oh, imagine. Oh.
I cannot imagine. That would not, we wouldn't have made it to me having green in front of me. Yeah. I'd have been like, no, I'm a full grown adult. I will have the brie. Thank you very much.
I'll order
a salad with no dressing.
Just leaves.
And water.
And you're going to wave your fucking fork over mine?
Why did you even take me to a fancy restaurant, by the way? Like, weird flex.
It's a power move, too. Because she was saying, like, it was expensive. Like, he's lording it over her, like, with his money. That is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable. I hate it.
Well, that pisses me all the way off.
I knew it would.
Can't wait to hear what you have to share with us. I'm sure it's not going to piss me off.
Really going to piss you off.
Oh, goody. Fantastic.
And you may have heard of this case. I never have, but to me, it is so popular in the UK. Not popular. That's the wrong word. It's very well-known case.
Yeah.
It's like their Golden State Killer case.
Wow.
Oh.
So I'm going to be talking, trigger warning, about sexual assault and murder. So if you're triggered by any of that, just skip. But this is the tainted love of the Rachel Nickell murder. So.
Sounds familiar.
Is it recent? Sounds familiar to me too.
No, it is not recent. Oh, okay. However, there have been a lot of documentaries and I think I brought up on the last episode that I had just started watching this program called Deceit on the BBC that was released this year as a 4-part series about this case, about an aspect of this case.
I went down a rabbit hole of watching basically nothing but British true crime shows for a while. So the likelihood that I've heard this is probably pretty high.
You may have heard of this. So Rachel Jane Nickell is born to an army officer and her mother on the 23rd of November in 1968. She has a normal, happy, awesome childhood. She's described as charitable. She helps out with old folks and disabled children in the area. She is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. She's like blonde, huge, wide smile. People constantly coming up offering her modeling jobs.
Okay. Aww. So this is the first 10 minutes of the Dateline where they're like, yeah, everybody correct. Loved her.
Yes. But legitimately.
Radiant beams. She volunteered with old people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww, she's so perfect.
She did want to do like acting, but she did make sure to finish her academic studies for English and history. So ultimately, her dream was to be a children's television programming person.
Oh, stop.
So she meets this guy and they end up having a kid, Alex. They're like living like this perfect London life and she's got a dog, Molly. There are like videos that you can see where, I mean, they are so freaking cute and this little baby is adorable.
Aww.
So like one of their like habits, they were right by Wimbledon Court, which was like the big park or whatever. And so she would take her son Alex and her dog Molly out to walk, you know, during the day, get them both some exercise. And she also supported herself by working as a lifeguard in a pool in Richmond, London. So yeah, everything's great with her husband Andre, and you know, everything's great. It's the 15th of July. It's the middle of the summer, 1992. She's walking her dog when all of a sudden, like, she's not 200 yards from other people. So this is like a park, but it's not, you know, in the middle of the forest or whatever.
Right.
She's violently attacked from behind. Like, it throws her two-year-old, like, into the bushes. She's stabbed 49 times.
Oh, my God.
And almost nearly decapitated.
Holy shit.
So it's not but a few minutes later that passersby come along the two-year-old who is kneeling by his mother saying, wake up, mommy, wake up, mommy.
Oh, my God.
This case explodes into the UK consciousness. It's featured on Crime Watch. People are like, how could this happen? So many tips are flooding in because it was such a violent attack in the middle of the day. It was 10:20 a.m.
Oh, my God.
People on paths walking, you know, their dogs and everything.
49 times. Yeah. That's a lot.
Like, that takes a minute, too.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a brazen attack and so violent and so vile. The
it
fact
feels
that
so
her,
personal
that her child was there and witnessed Ugh. It. So, yeah, police are definitely pressured to find this killer. But the problem is there's no physical evidence that they can find. It's also 1992, so it's not like, you know, DNA is super well developed. So they end up working with this guy named Paul Britton, who is like UK's John Douglas. He's the inspiration for a show called Cracker, which is like their forensic. Nice. It's a very popular television
Cracker.
Show.
I know. Currently looking this up right now.
Like, why?
Yeah. So he's like their John Douglas, and he quickly puts together a profile for what this killer must be like. He is like, they're going to be super into the occult, and he's going to be, you know, single white male, very awkward, very much a loner, possibly still living with his mother, that kind of thing. So,
wow.
Meanwhile, like, police are looking through their different suspects. They've talked to like 32 different people. They've released, like, some people have noticed and given a sketch of a man that was in the area that they saw. And people call in and think, you got to talk to this dude, Colin Stagg. He's a loner. He's often
fits the description.
He is often walking his dog in the area. And in fact, a cop is like, oh yeah. At some point when they went and closed the park off, Colin Stagg went up, he had his dog, and he's like, oh, why is it closed off? I was just here this morning. And they're like, there's been a murder that's been committed. And he's like, by the way, what's your name and address? Since you just told us that you were here.
Yeah, so you're a potential witness.
So they go to interview Colin. First of all, it's like on an estate, so all the houses kind of look the same, but his door is black. It's painted black with a sign on it that says, Christians beware. A pagan lives here.
Oh, okay.
In 1992? Honey.
Yeah, honey. Exactly, honey.
Like, I'm for it, okay? I love it. I love that for you. But in 1992, we're coming right out of the satanic panic.
Yeah.
You gotta.
It's coming in hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Really putting it all out there.
So police are like, okay. So, like, you live alone.
Cool.
You live alone. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, here are all my books on the occult. He's like, sure. I'm Wiccan, you know? And they're like, uh huh. And then they go and check out one of his bedrooms. Just has a white pentagram on the floor,
yeah,
and everything. So they're like, yeah, you live alone with your dog, and
you're
kind of
really
the
falling right into this description.
Yeah. Everybody thinks you're weird. You've never had a girlfriend or anything like that. He's like, yeah, no. And they're like, so did you kill her? And he's like, no, I didn't.
Did you do it?
So they're like, okay, what happened? And he says he got up really early in the morning, walked his dog, but had a really debilitating headache, so he didn't take his dog as far as he usually did. So he took a bunch of aspirin, laid back down, and when he woke up, he went back to the park, and that's when he encountered the officers. Mm-hmm. So his alibi is not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, I took a nap is not a good alibi.
Yeah.
Usually,
I'm screwed.
I live alone, and I took a nap. It's like, okay.
And can anybody verify that besides your dog?
Besides your dog.
Yeah. And so, because there wasn't any forensic evidence or anything like linking anything to the scene, police are really stumped on what to do. And
also, there's nothing linking this guy to the case except for he just happened to go to this park.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, it's somebody who's into the occult, which is all speculation at this point.
Absolutely.
49 times to stab somebody feels very personal.
Right.
From everything we know. From our extensive knowledge in this.
We're experts.
Total experts.
Basically.
But I mean, like, all you hear a lot, you know, from many background, like, that's tends to be somebody, it's very personal.
Yeah. And
that many times stabbed.
I'd like to know where he came to the conclusion that it had to do with the occult in the first place.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't feel, what about it is occult like?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't understand. And also, I know it's 1992, and again, people just lumped everybody into yeah. one category, but like Wiccans are not.
No, that's the thing. No. Exactly. Like,
they believe very much, and he did, that what you put out in the world, you get yes. three times back.
Right. So what, you're not going to go stabbing somebody 49 times in the name of Wicca.
Exactly. Like, no, that's not how
happen.
That works.
It's not how it works. The other thing I want to bring up is cracker. I don't believe cracker is the same as it here is here in the U.S. I think that cracker might be more like safe cracker or cracking a code kind of thing.
Yes. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Sorry. Like, I didn't think
like
it
fanny. Took me like 20 minutes.
Like fanny.
Was there a part of your story that I zoned out to just think about cracker? No.
We're like, wow, don't Cassie's worry. Really quiet yeah. over there.
So they are stumped on how to proceed. So they end up getting an unexpected idea because it's featured on Crime Watch. And also, like, they are really zooming in on Colin being the suspect. So, you know, the UK media just
went bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah.
So he ends up, like, somebody accuses him of indecent exposure because he was sunbathing nude on a beach and they happened upon him. So his lawyer just told him to just pay the fine. So, of course, it's splashed across the front page everywhere. So now people think he's a pervert. People think wow. he's, you know, a murderer.
A devil like worshiper.
He's a pariah
yeah.
on his estate. People are literally, like, outside his house calling him a nonce and all kinds of things. But someone calls into the police. This woman named Julie was like, I have a very strange story to tell about Colin Stagg. So,
oh no.
Like a year before, she had put a Lonely Hearts ad in the newspaper, just basically saying, like, and this is really sad. Her ad was like, recently divorced, overweight woman looking for love.
Oh,
and it was like, sweet baby angel. So Colin had replied to her and was like sweet at first, like, hey, I have a dog. I'm into all these things. I'm 28. I've never had a girlfriend before, that kind of thing. So they end up exchanging letters. But like by the third letter, he is like, he writes her that he's a red-blooded male. And that he has these fantasies.
No.
I believe red flag mail is
and
what you meant
like,
to say.
Yes. He's like, he encloses another letter inside that letter Gugh. That says on it, my fantasy, Gugh. In brackets, one of them at least. And he's like, if you're not interested, just rip the letter up and throw it in the bin.
Look,
definitely.
Okay.
Not interested, but going to read this.
Yeah. I mean, and you look, 100%. Man, rule number one, you can't put that kind of thing in. No. I don't even know what he wrote, but I'm like, you should not have put this in writing. You should not have put this in writing.
I know it.
Well, Colin's fantasy was a very graphic, detailed depiction of outdoor sex, like sex outside in the open air.
Okay, that's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. Another lie.
No.
Yeah. So she tells police that and they're like, okay, cool. This gives us an idea. So what they do is they get a detective constable, Lizzie James, not her real name, but
right.
Lizzie James, to start a letter writing campaign to Colin. They make Colin think he's not a suspect anymore. And they're like, okay, so you're going to approach and say, I was living with Julie at the time. Mm-hmm. She's very old fashioned, but I'm not.
And I found your letter. And it was hot.
So they start writing to each other for like 5 months, writing back and forth. And she's like, what it's supposed to be, she works with the profiler, it's supposed to be anything he suggests is okay. Mm-hmm. But she's not supposed to make any suggestions. But she definitely starts like throwing in S&M stuff and all this like
imagine
leading the witness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine being at work though and then being like, Lizzie, come into the office. We have something we'd like to run by you.
You have to write dirty letters.
Yeah, can you write
to a murder
erotica?
Suspect?
Also, why does it have to be a woman that writes them?
Yeah,
because why not just
if
have
they're
the,
letters? Who
in
cares?
Fact, like why not just have the profiler do it? That way, yes. You know, it's like exactly what you want.
Well, just in case they like ended up meeting, which they did
okay.
on a couple occasions.
Have her, okay. have her meet him, but she doesn't have to write the letters.
She can read all the letters. She can be involved in the case. I'm not saying not involve her, but why does she have to be the one to write the letters?
So for 5 months, that ends up being like 40 letters, pages on pages, hundreds of pages of letters.
This feels very like you can't do this.
I don't love this.
No. So she finally gets to the point where she's saying stuff like, you know, if only I knew you had done the Wimbledon Commons murders. And he says, he's like, I'm sorry, that's not me, but you know, I hope that you'll still date me.
Wow.
You know, just like,
wow, this is awful.
It really,
this is really is.
And when
awful.
You read portions of the letter, like he is like, he ends up meeting and he thinks that she's kind of crazy, but he's still like a 29-year-old virgin.
Oh, baby.
And she's gorgeous. And he even says after the fact, I knew it had to be something weird that someone that attractive would be that interested in me.
Oh, God. Oh, he's having a real rough year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is awful.
It's awful.
So
this is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
After 5 months, despite the fact that he hasn't confessed to anything, even though he's been clearly entrapped to do so.
100%. Yeah.
They arrest him.
I would like to speak to my lawyer, please.
For the murder. And when the lawyer tells him, hey, just so you know, that person you've been writing was a police officer, that's when he says, he's like, yeah, I figured it had to be something like that. And his lawyer was like, just say no comment to all their questions. It takes another 13 months before he gets to the judge. The judge takes a look at this and he throws it all
you
out.
You have to.
Thank God.
Yes.
You have to. He says it's gross miscarriage of justice. It's
absolutely.
Clearly like an entrapment.
And all this fucking time that you guys actually could have
been looking for the person who actually did it. There is a 2-year-old who lost their mom in a terrible, traumatic way who has no justice.
Right.
Like this is
awful.
It's on this every fucking level. This is the worst thing on every level.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, as much as the media is hounding Colin, the media and the police are also hounding Andre and his 2-year-old son, Alex, who witnessed, trying to get any kind of clues, anything. And Andre finally gets so upset and over the mental like state of his son, he takes his son to the south of France. He gets the fuck out of the UK.
Yeah.
Later ends up in Barcelona. And
you'd have to. I mean, I think you have to. Like, I cannot imagine
it's awful.
Going through something like that and then having like reporters and media like on you constantly.
Also, I need you to like tell me that he had a solid alibi before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So
we know for certain.
It was never a question. Andre definitely did not have anything to do with it.
Then bye.
So,
yeah.
He takes his son and he's like, my son needs to grow up. Like, this cannot be, you know, he's
awful.
Too young.
Trauma. Fucking awful.
So, get ready to get really bad.
Oh, great.
Because while all this stuff with Colin Stagg is going on, there is, in 1989, a string of violent attacks are happening in the parks around London. They're so violent that there's a task force that's put together for it. And let me get the name of the task force here. The Green Chain Rapes. In 1992... So the same year.
This literally is their Golden State Killer. This is wild.
A major inquiry was set up. Officers were hunting a perpetrator who showed extreme violence toward his victims, using a knife and on more than one occasion attacking a woman with her children present. Throughout the inquiry, 106 crimes were identified involving 86 women. And it was in the middle of this inquiry that Rachel Nichol was attacked. Despite the similarities between the cases.
Clear similarities. Question. Who the fuck is this cracker motherfucker?
Yeah.
And what are his qualifications?
He's on the task force.
Oh, oh. Oh my God.
This motherfucker's on the task force.
Show.
I'm sorry.
Without having...
You're...
I need to see your qualifications.
They're playing real fast and loose over there with giving away TV shows. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then while Colin is sitting in jail, like waiting for a trial, this is the most horrible thing. There is
his face. She's like, this is the most horrible thing.
Seriously.
This is really bad. Oh, this God. Is really bad. There is another murder of 28-year-old Samantha Bissett and Jasmine, her 4-year-old daughter.
So now the child
has been killed.
Yeah. Okay, wait a second. And Dudeface is in jail right now.
Yeah. So this crime is so brutal that the police photographer that was one of the first on the scene quits the force right after because it.
He's like, I cannot.
It's just going to live in my brain for the rest of my life.
I'm not going to spell it out what happened because.
Of course, you don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to. If you're into that kind of thing, you can look it up, but it's fucking awful. So they find fingerprints at the scene and they end up finding that it matches somebody named Robert Knapper.
Wait, so it's not Colin?
Oh, no. Wow.
Wow, I'm so shocked.
Who would have thought?
Well, I mean, because he's Wiccan, so we just, you know, he had
a black door, Cassie.
Ah, yes, the black door.
And even still, no one's making the connection between Samantha Bissett, even though this is less than a year later.
And identical.
And Rachel Nichol. No one is. So they're treating this like a separate thing.
I feel like even a reporter would be like, excuse me.
Right.
I feel like these are kind of like each other.
I feel like just local us. People, yeah. Right? We're like
average civilians.
Like average civilians who like just with this the girl that just recently went missing was like, "Oh, that's the same address as this." Like puts two and two together, even if they're not quite, but has questions.
Also, if you are a young woman at this time or a woman at this time with a small child, I'd be like we're fucking concerned.
We're talking about a space of 4 years where 106 of like sexually motivated attacks happened in this area. That amount, even if, like you said, even if the police didn't miss it, reporters... People in the area, like you had
women
to have
who
known
like to go
somebody.
To parks,
yes,
like
yes, these things were happening in daytime and everything. They had like descriptions, everything.
Wow.
So, and in fact, Robert Knapper had been brought up in the Rachel Nichol case 6 separate times. He was talked to by the police and asked to come down and give blood so he could be ruled out as a suspect. And he just never showed up.
And they were
and
like,
no one
that's fine.
Ever followed up.
Wow.
Meanwhile.
Is it the same over there where like taxpayers are paying for this shit too? Or it's just like, what the fuck? Come on.
Exactly. So they tail Knapper and they finally catch him, you know, and he is unwell. He is not a well person. He is paranoid, schizophrenic, and confesses to the Bissett murder of her and her child, and they lock him away in Broadmoor. It is not until 2008.
Come on.
When DNA is like specific, or I don't know the word I'm looking for.
They're able to refine it enough to
connect Knapper to the murder of Rachel. And he's like, oh, yeah, I did that too.
You could have just asked him.
Yeah.
You know, like he probably would have just told you.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they're sure now that he's responsible for these 106 attacks. In fact, they've been able to go back. They look right at the beginning in 1989. His mother called the cops because he went up to his mom and he's like, I just raped somebody. And his mom's like,
9-1-1.
Hi, my son raped somebody. And they're like, she said it was at this park. And they're like, no, we don't have anything like that. There was a rape a couple weeks earlier. The house was backed up. Their backyard was part of the park. So it was like, it could have been stopped there. one of the times they went to speak with him, they found this big map of London with different X's and notes, like about women and women being bitches and sluts and tying up women, and violent notes with like X's all around these different parks. They didn't arrest him then. Like, nothing.
They're like, this is chill.
But he didn't have a pentagram, so he didn't fit the profile.
He didn't have a book about witches. Yeah. So
I couldn't be more furious than I am right now.
Was that entire police department fired? Well, did they just throw the whole thing away, set it on fire, and start over? Because
one of the main detectives was, like, convicted of corruption charges.
Cool, Good.
Detective Lizzie James quit the force, after. She actually got a $125,000 settlement.
Fuck
she
her.
Early retired.
She doesn't deserve that.
Colin got £706,000 for basically for 16 years.
It's not enough.
People thinking
it's
that
not
he's...
Enough.
Not Mm-mm. enough.
Your life has been so thoroughly dragged through the mud
right.
at that
also,
point. There's no amount of money.
And if you're Colin, you're taking that money and moving
getting
it
the
right
fuck
down
out.
To the south of France.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get out.
I wish he had, but I mean, he seems like a very like awkward person. What
Poor
he did,
guy.
He blew all of it on his new wife.
Oh, Colin, sweet baby angel.
He now is a like cashier at Tesco. But he seems happy, and he has like four kids and a wife, but he blew all the money, you know?
Baby.
Yeah.
I wanted good things for you, Colin. Well, see, he seems happy.
Yeah,
it's all right.
He's happy.
He's happy, and it's still being talked about today as one of like the grossest police investigations in UK history. There's a documentary that came out this year. There's Deceit, which I've talked about. There's a really good podcast. It's an 8-part series. This guy has a podcast called True Crime Enthusiast that's specifically like Wales and UK crimes.
Oh,
he's
amazing. We love to see it.
So very detailed 8-part series called Maniac, which I definitely highly recommend. It's very, very detailed and good because I definitely like skipped through a lot to try to piece this together. But mainly the thing that fascinated me the most about this case was the fact that a police department thought it would be a good idea to try to run a honeypot on their main suspect.
Awful.
For 5 months.
5 months of wasted fucking
time, taxpayer, like the whole thing centered upon this.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
I knew. Ugh. I love how all of us were like, wait, that's not how this works. Like immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
No.
We're
yeah.
like, wait,
you can't
what?
Do that. I mean, and yeah, it seems like a little fucked up that Lizzie got a settlement, but also you can't ask somebody who works for you to do that. Like, especially like how many women were on the force. And like, yeah, she fucked it up, but it shouldn't have been asked
also,
of her in the first place.
She shouldn't have had anything to do with this. This whole thing is garbage.
She was supposed to have a lot of support and everything from Paul Britton, in which she claims there was no support for her. And of course, it was the 90s and she's like hot
she's
cop.
One of the only female, like probably the only women on the force. Paul, like, and you're being asked to do this thing at your job. Like that is it is fucked up.
Paul Britton sounds like garbage.
Does he still have a like TV show?
I need to know about this.
Because here's the thing. I just feel like he was like, you know how some people are just charismatic enough to be able to like pull the con?
Yeah.
Like I feel like he doesn't know shit about what he's talking about.
He's confident
white. He read what's his name's
John
book?
Douglas.
John Douglas's book and was like, you know what? I could probably be that person.
You know,
here.
I feel like we know a lot of people like that. I feel like if you are, and Piers Morgan is another one where I'm just like, if you are a confident white man of a certain age,
okay.
I just feel like you kind of just get away with just saying bullshit and people are like, must be facts, you know, like must be facts.
Has he ever gotten anything right is my question.
I
have a thousand questions about this dude.
I do not know, but I definitely
like a fake psychic.
Want to dig in further about like his career. Now, the other happy ending too is because the documentary was just released this year, they did catch up with Andre and Alex.
Oh.
Alex, who's like in his 30s now.
Well, he'd be my age because he was born, he was two in 1992.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just turned 30. Happy, healthy. He speaks 4 languages, very successful.
Baby.
They went and they placed flowers and everything in
had a tribute to his mom and the place that she was murdered. But him and his dad lived together super, super close. They've both had girlfriends over the years, but their strongest relationship has been with each other. And they're very happy and healthy, even though they miss Rachel. And that's the tainted love story of Rachel Nickell.
Oh,
don't cry. Well, that's devastating.
I know. I never heard of it before. And it is huge. Like I said, it's a huge case.
I'd seen something about it, but all I remembered was the letter writing. Mm-hmm. I remembered that because I was like, what the
How
fuck?
Is that approved?
Yeah. I was like, this feels sketchy.
You can't convict somebody. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
And how did they think that they could? And how can you just arrest somebody and take them to, like, put them in front of a judge with no evidence? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how it even got that far. Like, how? How was everybody in that department not fired?
It was definitely definitely a case, too, of just, like, this kind of, like, introvert, you know, person that people kind of thought was weird just escalated into this massive
witch hunt. Get the pitchforks. Yeah. Oh.
His door is black. So
he doesn't like Christians.
He doesn't like Christians. So he must be a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not how this works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, okay.
To change the subject.
Yeah.
Get that taste out of our mouths. It's what are we watching this week?
Okay.
Besides LuLaRoe.
besides LuLaRich. I watched Well, actually, last night I had a Candyman night. I watched the new Candyman and the original Candyman.
It's out?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it.
You can rent it now.
I'm not going to rent it.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, I rented it so you could watch it on my account if you wanted.
The original is so fucking scary.
The original is so fucking good, actually, mm-hmm. because you don't think it's going to be because it's like this early 90s horror movie. And oftentimes those are like so tropey and campy and like...
Yeah.
But the original is actually really, really good. Virginia Madsen is like, gorgeous, amazing. And it is scary. I would say that the sequel, because this recent one is a sequel, it's not as scary.
Okay, good.
But it is, it's not as scary. I didn't find it to be like particularly good. Scary. But it is very good.
Nice. And
it
is Why do people want to feel this way? I fucking love it.
This is my favorite
Eric
shit.
Loves it too. Eric loves to be like scared.
It is my favorite shit. Like I was so excited watching Candyman last night. Like I was like, yes!
But it's so funny. It's just like we will watch like actual legitimate horrifying true crimes like the one I just described.
Yeah. Right. All and while eating a Pop-Tart on your couch.
While falling asleep.
Yeah.
But yet Candyman, something that is entirely made up and fantastical, scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. But I will say, like, as far as horror movie sequels go, because it's usually not good. Like a sequel to a horror movie is usually not very good. This was good. Like I really thought it was like a great continuation.
It took them a while to get there. I imagine they were like, let's do it good.
And, you know, as a horror movie fan who is also a person of color, like, I love that we are seeing more horror movies that are centering like non-white people because it has been a very white genre for a very long time.
For sure.
And so I love it. I loved it.
Nice. What about you, Cass?
Been watching a lot of football. That's where I'm at right now. It's football season, and this year I have signed up to be in a fantasy football league. Nice. Don't get that out. And which has now made me a monster. Which, I already like sports to begin with, but now
have
that
you never that done fantasy football before?
Fantasy football before, and now I'm like, oh shit! Now there's a competition.
Stakes are raised.
I am literally every Sunday. You can find me in front of my television with my computer up as I watch all of my players.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm at.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I'm in.
Love to see it.
I watched the finale. We actually caught up and able to watch the finale of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was really good.
So
it's light, it's funny, it's silly. I needed literally like a palate cleanser after researching this case.
I bet.
And that was a nice palate cleanser to
have. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys have something that we should watch, stories to share with us, please send stories. Go to our one-stop shop of websites, mywordstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.